standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Joe George, we'll come here with you on ESPN 97.5. Brian McDonald, as always. Dana Brown just met with the media. Will was listening in. What'd you learn, Will?
I learned that they are not done. Everything we've said the last couple days, and in particular today, came to fruition. Dana Brown said, quote, we are
traded for someone?
Still trying to improve this team. We are still actively trying to acquire a left-handed bat. We also learned that Ronel Blanco will return this week, and Mike Burrows is expected to return to the mound during his rehab in the next 7 to 10 days, and they are having conversations with Burrows on things that need to change, in particular trying to gain movement on his pitches when they're in the zone. Something we touched on yesterday because his swing rate miss is atrocious and that he just throws dots down the middle and gets smashed on a consistent basis. So that's the biggest news coming out of this. Plus, as if you missed it in the last segment, Lance McCullers Jr., Dana Brown said that his makeup and character have been outstanding and he may work in this organization one day.
I hope the next GM doesn't tell us the same thing for 3 years about what he's trying to acquire and never acquire it.
The left-handed bat?
Yeah.
Was Jesus Sanchez?
Yeah, he was.
To be fair,
they got rid of him.
I wonder how much, you're trying to acquire a left-handed bat. How many deals fall through and how much the price just isn't there because you can't always acquire what you want.
No,
we saw that with the Rockets and the point guard.
For sure. It's just like they always talk about it, and they've never particularly gotten close. And the one guy they liked, they disliked him so much, they traded him back for Joe Lopofito. And Jesus Sanchez. He's been saying it for years. We'll see if they actually do it. The Blanco thing's probably the most important of all of that, I would say, obvious, he was going to pitch this week. We thought there was a chance he was going to pitch this last Sunday before the All-Star break because it lined up after he piggybacked McCullers in the minors, that he was going to be back. So Ronel Blanco returned to the rotation. So coming out of the break, it'll be some order of Hunter Brown.
He also said Wes Neske will likely be added to the rotation too.
Okay, so Hunter Brown. Okay, that's interesting. So Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, Tatsy Emai, Ronel Blanco, Hayden Wesneski, meet Sugarland Space Cowboy, Spencer Arrighetti, right?
Do you think they go five or do you think they go six / kind of know that one of these guys might also pitch themselves out of a rotation
spot? I think Arrighetti's pitched it out.
Yeah. All right.
I think we're already there. I don't know. I know we went pitcher of the month once. That was cool.
Yeah, but then six out of his last seven starts have been awful.
It is crazy.
What about the rest of the season?
You think
buddy?
He's tipping his pitches?
I don't think he's that good. I think he's fine.
I think he's streaky. We saw that his rookie year two years ago, where his first half of that rookie year was terrible, and then he turned it on for 2 months, and then he didn't do anything the next year until that May where he became unbelievable.
Yeah, he has unbelievable stretches. But even when he was good this year, was pitcher of the month, he was walking a ton of guys. He doesn't have enough control. He walks too many guys that at some point, games are just going to get away from him. He does not seem like a guy who's going to be consistent enough. He can be your fifth guy in the rotation, but that means that Hayden Wesneski can come back from the injured list and bump you back down to Sugarland. So I think they go five coming out of the break. I don't think this rotation, for the most part, is getting you deep enough into games, including Hunter Brown right now, to where you should be sacrificing an arm in your bullpen to go six-man rotation. I just don't see it. They have an off day. They only play Friday through Wednesday, and then they have their first off day. Then they have an off day the following Thursday, then the following Thursday. They're not in this that stretch of baseball again for it looks like basically the rest of the season where they have a ton of days and they don't have days off.
Whoever gets sent down, I guarantee you we see him back with the Astros. It's just there's going to be so much up and down.
Oh, yeah, I don't think Wesneski is not going to be a lock on this roster. Blanco is, but between Arrighetti, and Wesneski, and then Ethan Pecco, it's probably going to be a little bit of a mixed bag of who starts in that fifth spot.
This also allows them to really focus in on getting that outfielder that we talked about and solidifying that position in the outfield versus, all right, we want to get an outfielder and we want to get a starter. Getting rid of Lance and getting back Wisniewski and getting back Sousa as well at a point and Blanco, that allows you to say, hey, we're adding to our rotation, but we're not going to do it via trade. We're going to focus all of our resources on getting the outfielder right.
Yeah, I do wonder if like a guy like Arrighetti is getting called on from some teams. He has quite a bit of control left, obviously. Like,
well, there's enough in Arrighetti that someone's going to like him.
Well, like, you could, like, he could be part. We mentioned Bryce. We talked about Bryce Matthews earlier. Like, you could probably find a competent outfielder for a combination of Bryce Matthews and Spencer Arrighetti. Like, is it going to be the best player on planet Earth? Definitely not. Because you build a package around those two guys and not have to obliterate your farm system and go out and acquire someone good. Yeah, I think you could. So, like, I think they have plenty of options. At this point, we'll see. Do you think we see Mike Burrows again this year? Like, where are you at with that? Because, like, I agree with, like, everyone's kind of on the table. But Burrows has been struggling so much. Like, I think letting him spend more time in Sugarland the rest of the year, it still might be just what's best for him going forward to hope for that big bounce back in 2027, assuming we have baseball. Do you expect to see him back this year? Or do you hope that he comes back this year? Or where are you at with Burrows?
I think that if we see Mike Burrows back, it's because somebody's reputation is on the line with making the move. I don't think we see him back because he's earned it and it's warranted, or if everybody's healthy, I don't think he's in there. I haven't seen anything that says Mike Burrows is good and that he's a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. Maybe when you expand rosters, he can be a long relief guy or he can be out of the bullpen. Maybe. Like, I don't know. But even then, he doesn't overpower guys and have guys move. Like, you want to be able to have a ground ball guy, strikeout guy come out of the bullpen. I don't see a spot for Mike Burrows. I'm usually not that guy, but I think he's just very not good.
I think he can. I think there's still the potential in there. I just think for this year, it's not there.
Well, like, no. I'm talking about this year. But even then,
like, let him work in the minors and figure stuff out. And if he does, then he can come back and join your rotation, or like you said, be a long relief guy later in the season. But I'm not. I wouldn't. Like, when he's healthy, he just doesn't get a spot. Like, Blanco gets a spot. Wisniewski seems like has earned a spot within the rotation. Like, Burrows would have to earn it back when he comes back healthy.
My problem with Burrow is there's no track record that he does anything well. He doesn't move the ball well in the zone. He's not doing it now. That's the biggest thing. And Dana Brown just touched on it. We talked about that yesterday, that his whiff rate, his K rate, and like his movement within the zone is horrible. That's why I'm holding out on Tisaiu Imai, because his move rate is very good. Now, the issue is he doesn't know where the ball's going. That's another problem, but at least the ball's moving. When you have the movement, you have something to work with. If you're just throwing dots and the ball's not moving, you're going to get hit. Even if you know where it's going, because you know it's going to get hit and where it's going to get hit. Imai's not getting hit necessarily, and the ball's moving. So, like, I'll take that. I don't see Burrows, unless they figure something out drastically and something changes with him, he's just not good enough.
Yeah, I just don't think that happens this year.
I agree entirely, and he's not going to be back in the rotation unless injuries. Which,
yeah, like, there's no reason to give up on the future with Burrows, but like, those major changes to guys' pitches don't typically happen in season. I know, like, so what was it? Was it 3 years ago now with Hunter Brown when Alex Bregman told him to start doing something different?
His was like a two-seamer. You need to get the ball in on the hands of righties.
So I guess that was Bregman's last year in Houston. Yeah. And Presley talked to Hunter Brown too. Like, but that's a different caliber of dude. Like, that's a guy that like can make the change.
Exactly.
Give the Astros pitching machine time to work with Burrows. Like, Kikuchi obviously figured it out, but that was kind of just like a throw what you're good at more often. Why are you not throwing this one pitch that's so successful all the time? So we're going to do it a lot. Like, that's a game plan strategy. I don't think it's a game plan strategy with Burrow. So I don't. Hopefully, he can come back and be healthy this year and work on things in Sugarland. But I just have zero expectation for him to come back to this roster and make a meaningful impact in 2026.
When I watch Mike Burrows and when I watch Spencer Arrighetti, what I see in Arrighetti is what you call a live arm. Like, he's got a live arm. It's like a whip, and you get some movement on that, and, like, I will take that in a pitcher. I see none of that in Burrows. I see just a dead, flat, boring arm, and the ball comes out like that. Mm-hmm. I just don't see it in Burroughs. I didn't see it from day one. I've been on this train, so it's not like I changed my tune. I'll stick with Emi and Arrigetti because they have the potential to be good because they have the ability with that live arm and ball movement. Burroughs is just a dead fish. He's just a dead fish.
That's like the meanest thing we've ever said on the show, Will.
it nothing excites me about Burroughs and his arm movement and his action.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you at all. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how Blanco looks. Like, it's been, year and a half plus
for Blanco?
Did he pitch last year? I don't even remember when last time he pitched for the Astros was. It's been so long. Was Nesky we saw last year? Maybe we didn't see Blanco last year.
I thought he got hurt last year.
Yeah, maybe he did. It's been so long since we've seen
these guys. He pitched nine games last year, 4.10 ERA. If I remember correctly, he was kind of up and down.
Yeah, so we'll see how much like that, if he can look back to more of what, obviously, in 2024, he was electric. He had a 2.8 ERA.
Threw a no-no.
13-6, had the no-no. If he can be anything close to that, that's a huge boost to the Astros. It's not that playoff, big push boost potentially, but
he's a guy that can eat innings. He's that guy. That's what you need with somebody.
That's the other thing. I think they desperately do need that. This bullpen has been asked to do quite a bit this year. And that is one where that can get guys to fall off cliffs immediately. Where you can see really good first halves from bullpen pitchers and it can fall apart quick because they just get tired out. You have to get some kind of length. And frankly, it starts with Hunter Brown. He has to start providing some length for the Houston Astros in his starts and bounce back to the guy he was. But maybe Blanco can come in. We'll see about Wisniewski. I don't have high expectations for him to go deep into games. You just need more him just to be solid while he's out there.
Five innings, 1-2 runs.
Yeah.
You need to be in games. Half of these pitchers just got to keep you in games. I think he's
a 3-4 run guy.
In five innings.
But
it's not even I'm not even saying four innings. I'm five innings, two runs.
That's fair. Yeah, I just don't know if he's that guy.
Five innings isn't a lot of innings. I hate this new world of pitching.
I know. I agree with you, but unfortunately, that's never changing.
I wonder if that's never changing because I think you're actually doing your team and these guys a disservice by not allowing them to stretch out and throw the ball. I think the protection hurts them more.
I don't think it's protect. A lot of it's pitch count.
The pitch count's dumb as hell.
And that's but these guys throw so much. There's so many injuries. If everyone was Dusty Baker now, there'd be no one left in baseball these days. there'd be no one left. There's no one left when he was.
Did more guys get hurt under Dusty than anybody? I don't think it's a Dusty thing
I'm not talking about Houston Dusty.
Oh.
I'm talking about Mark Beaver and Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood Dusty.
It's Chicago.
Yeah.
By the way, when Mark Pryor came out, I'll never forget. It was perfect mechanics.
Yeah.
Never get hurt.
And then he got hurt all the time.
Boom.
All right. When we get back, let's do some cash or trash. What do you got? Cash or trash. We'll do that next right here on ESPN 97.5. When the world's biggest tournament is hosted on our turf, you've got to do it big. And lucky for you, Twin Peaks is built for big games. At the Lodge, it's 29 degrees or nothing. Stay refreshed for the full 90 minutes as Twin Peaks girls keep the rounds coming from ice cold 29-degree drafts and Michelob Ultra to the iconic handcrafted spicy margaritas made with Casamigos. There's something that'll score with every fan all tournament long. Only two games left now in the tournament, so it's the best time to go to watch. If you're okay with the third place game, or if you want to watch something else, that's what you can do over at Twin Peaks. But pair all that with a menu that's entirely made from scratch. You've got everything you need to stay fueled for every match. We're talking hand-tossed wings in your choice of 12 sauces and dry rubs, sear-to-order burgers and shareables that beat the brakes off of bar food. Get to the Lodge where every seat puts you in the front row and every second is packed with scenic views. Twin Peaks is truly unmatched for every match. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
ESPN 97.5. It's time for a hydration break.
Presented by Rambler Sparkling Water.
Time for a hydration break to beat this Houston Heat. Time to sub out that boring water with Rambler, America's tastiest sparkling mineral water. Proprietary limestone mineral blend complete with calcium, magnesium, and potassium. Essential electrolytes your body needs in this Houston heat. Combined with crisp carbonation, Rambler delivers premium taste and maximum hydration. without the sugar or sodium, available at select retailers across Houston and nationwide. Find at a store near you at RamblingSparklingWater.com. And get rambling, Houston.
Love rambling.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
All right, time to Cash 'em or Trash 'em here on Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. You can text them in, call them in, 713-780-3776, or on Twitch and YouTube as well. Brian McDonald, what's your lead off today?
So I think, and this is honor of Lance McCullers Jr.'s career with the Astros now coming to the end, where he goes to join Dallas Keuchel as the Astros pitchers who have their careers buried in Milwaukee. But I think Lance McCullers Jr. Close out of the Game 7 ALCS in 2017. We all know it, the 24 straight curveballs, four innings shutout, six strikeouts, only allowed two base runners. I think that's the second most impressive behind Christian Javier's no-hitter postseason start or appearance, like a pitching appearance from an Astros pitcher that I've seen. So basically going back to like 97 when they first started making the playoffs regularly. That's the second most impressive postseason appearance I've seen from an Astros pitcher.
And what was the most?
Javier's no-hitter.
No-hitter.
In game four? Yeah, game four. Because Lance got crushed in game three.
Interesting.
Ironically.
Yeah, he did. I'm trying to like rack my brain.
There's
here
a couple
for a
of Charlie Morton appearances that are definitely worthy of conversation.
I'm going to cash it. Like, doesn't have everything that I'd obviously with being a little banged up. Only throwing curveballs.
That's, I think, what puts it over the top for me. The fact that, I don't know, by what point do the Yankees know, like, okay, he's throwing a curveball?
Pitch after 10, the fifth
pitch 11 at least, right?
Yeah, I was thinking after like five, but at least 10, where it's like all he's throwing is curveballs. And it's so nasty. Like, they can't do anything with it. They know exactly what's coming. They probably knew anyways.
probably. Shout out to Apple Watches.
Yeah, so they definitely knew it was curveball every single time, no matter what. But they couldn't get to it. Like, it actually,
and they couldn't lay off of it either.
That inning actually, is a slap in the face to, like, that's why the Astros won their 2017 World Series, because of trash cans. The Yankees literally got 24 curveballs thrown at them. Like, they knew exactly what was happening, and they still couldn't hit it. Like, it doesn't matter if you know what's coming at you. It does not matter. Like, you're not going to hit. I'm going to cash it. It's Javier's no-hitter one.
Lance tube, and then I don't know which one I would take. Closing out game seven, or he also started that game seven of the ALCS.
Yeah.
I'd probably take closing out game seven against the Dodgers.
I mean, Fromber definitely had a good World Series start.
Yeah.
Really nothing from JV, to be honest. That, like,
not in the World Series. Well, you could say game six of the World Series. Game six of the 2017 ALCS.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he ended up winning ALCS MVP.
Yeah. So, like, Verlander's probably up there.
But Verlander certainly didn't have anything in the World Series.
Yeah, but I think just, like, the fact that it's only curveballs, like,
I think that's what puts it over. Like, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of pushback for Charlie F. and Morton, but the fact that he just, like, curveball, puts it over the top for me, that he was able to take a lineup like that and just throw him one pitch and beat him was, and that's why I kind of couch it as impressive, because maybe more, obviously Charlie Morton's is more important. It's game seven of the World Series, but Lance was, to me, the second most impressive.
Yeah.
So this has to be World Series.
No,
just playoff.
Just playoffs.
Okay, then I'll trash it.
Trash.
Gerrit Cole. 5 appearances in the postseason, won 80% of his starts.
Well, I'm talking about one singular appearance.
I'm just saying, there's one singular postseason.
Which one stood out most to you? Because you had to pick a single
moment.
Boy,
that's a great question.
Because Cole was very nasty.
He was nasty, no doubt.
He was very nasty.
How about his start against the Rays? 8 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 10 Ks.
Jeez, I forgot.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
7 2/3 against the Rays, 4 hits, 15.
But that's ALDS, so stakes aren't as high.
15 Ks.
Hit 15 Ks in a playoff game?
According to this.
I don't remember that. Will, what do you want to cash for trash today? Give me a take.
Astros are going to win the AL West.
I don't know if you believe that.
Do I have to believe what I'm saying?
Usually.
Oh, damn.
I'll cash it because I did this one like 2 weeks ago. So I'm take locked at this point.
I will trash it. I don't think they're getting there.
Yeah. Trash. I haven't looked at the Pocota projections recently. So right now, they've got the Astros at 79.3 wins on the season. The Rangers at 82. The Mariners at 85. Like, I don't think the Mariners get to 85. Like, I don't know if the Astros projection is that far off. But like, I don't know. Like, I feel like, because I know, Brian, like, we talked about, like, you have to have, like, 85, 86 wins.
Yeah.
Usually make the division to make the
playoffs. I think 86 has been, like, the lowest over the last 10 years.
This feels like very NFC South vibes.
Though we might get a 7-9 winner. Yeah. The equivalent of a 7-9
winner.
Yeah,
like, or maybe, like, I guess, like a...
I guess now it's 8-9, but
yeah. So maybe it's like a 9-8 team winning the division. I guess more of.
Well, Panthers won like, 8-9 last year.
Yeah, but like it's like 83 wins.
We could get the outlier. For the context. I just wouldn't bet on the Astros winning the division because I don't think they could get to the requisite amount of wins.
Yeah, I just at this point, like I'm not sure the other teams get there, and that's why they still have a chance.
I don't. Well, I could concede that maybe we move that number down. What would that number be now for 83, 84?
Yeah, that's probably like I think 83. Like I think 84 like secures it in the West. It doesn't mean you're a wild card team. So like, if you don't win the division, you're not getting in. I think you're going to need 84 to get in the division. I mean, to get into the wild card.
Man, what a crappy division.
Oh, it's awful. Like
has been for a minute.
Because, like, I at this point, like, I think, like, the Red Sox are... They've always had the talent. And at some point, like, they're going to get Crochet back. I think this year. I don't think they've ruled them out for the season. It's like, I kind of think that the Yankees, the Guardians, and the Red Sox are the three wild card teams at this point. And then if the...
Yeah, obviously, Yankees are getting a big bat back, too.
Yeah, and, like... And if it's not the Yankees, then it's obviously the Rays. Like that, those two flip. You know, whoever wins that division, the other one's the top wild card team. Like I think the Astros are going to have to win the division to make the playoffs this year. At this point, I do not think they're going to get in during the wild card. My cash or trash. LeBron James is not good enough anymore for push notifications. I got one yesterday.
Oh, wow.
I got one yesterday about teams.
This is a hater take.
I got a push notification yesterday about...
petty hater take. Okay.
The Sixers are courting LeBron James. I don't care anymore. He's not good enough anymore.
Like, I will...
He's not deserving a push notification.
If I can adjust your cash of trash where I will cash it, is that I agree, like, the rumor of, well, he's talking to so-and-so team, or this team is now the favorite. I don't need that push notification.
No, I don't. No. Like, when he signs, it's different.
Really, regardless of who we're talking about, even if it's, you know, one of the greatest of all time, like LeBron. But I think LeBron is still worthy of the push notification. That, quote-unquote, news of the rumor is not push notification worthy.
Fair. Because, like, back in the, like, I think it, like, when he was a free agent the first time, I would have got it. Like, where it's like, oh, he's in New York, he's in Chicago. Like, it was such a big deal that LeBron was a free agent. You could have sent me a million push notifications of, like, where he was meeting, where he was rumored, who he was talking to. But, like, when he signs, yes, deserved. But, like, he's not worthy of the push notification anymore. Of just, like, he might go to this team. I don't care. I don't care anymore.
I'm going to cash it because... Out of all the teams that are listed, none of them become championship contenders with his addition.
I agree with that. I don't think he puts anyone over the top at this stage of his career.
No, I've kind of like weirdly talked myself into the 76ers.
I don't trust them for anything.
Like, I really like Edgecombe and Maxey. I like Jaylen Brown. Like, I don't know if he pushes them over per se, but... I think he could get them out of the East.
Well, I need them to push him over, per se.
What do you got?
I'm saying I don't think that they would. No. I don't think so. I agree with
you. Yeah.
He's like, not, like, all these push alerts are just not warranted because he's not good enough to make these guys championship teams.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I agree. Like, it's mostly the destinations. Like Miami, no. Like, they're, I don't think he changes Miami. Like, it's Giannis is the focus there. Bam Adebayo, like, he helps for sure. Don't piss off Bam, he'll punch you in the face. Very funny story. We did not talk enough about last week when it happened that he punched Tyler Hero in the face.
I want to see video.
I do too. I can't believe we haven't got it.
There's more cameras in Vegas than anywhere.
You punched someone in the face in Las Vegas and it's not on camera yet? Like, we got video of Matt Miller's car wreck today. And we don't have like video of this? Like, come on. But I tend to agree. Like, he doesn't make Golden State a championship contender. He doesn't elevate Cleveland, I think, in a certain way. Like, I think he makes those teams better, but I don't think he's, like, the reason why they win a championship next season. One here from the text line. Be easy trash. Prince Fielder's son will be just as good as he was. Trash.
Trash.
Super trash.
Trash. Trash.
Because we don't know anything trash. About this kid.
He's a single A player.
Yeah, like...
It was an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, well, I'm good on that.
Yeah, no. Like,
hard no.
Dana Brown did say he'll be an outfielder, for what it's worth. I guess he's been playing second base, but he's going to be an outfielder in the Astros organization.
The son of Prince and the grandson of Cecil Fielder cannot play a skinny man position. That just feels wrong.
He's got to
play
like...
a fat man position. Like, I can't see some skinny second baseman with the last name Fielder on. On the back of the jersey. It's not right.
Yeah, he does not look like...
Pops or Grandpa?
No. There is a clear diet change in the family.
they hired a nutrition?
Yeah.
He was the first Fielder to hire a nutrition? Yeah.
Now, there's a brother. I'm looking at a picture right now where, like,
he's a big old boy?
He looks more like Dad. Like... I would
Porky,
say,
but, hog, fat ass, just, double wide, butterball.
That's what you said.
He doesn't look like
that's
that.
That's what you said.
Like Dad.
That's what I heard.
He's just larger than Jaden. I would never call any prospect that. I like all the stuff over the weekend. Like, everyone's freaking out about like, who these guys are, like who the Astros drafted. I'm like, who cares? Like,
yeah,
or who knows? Like, I care.
I don't
but,
know.
Like, who knows? Like, who knows? And we'll talk to...
I love how many GMs come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, we'll talk to Astros Future on Thursday. Like, it's such a different, like, to get his perspective, who actually covers, like, minor leagues and the process and who these guys were taking. But, like, the average fan being like, I love this kid from Texas Tech. I'm like, have you ever watched him play baseball? Because the answer is no. We know the answer is no to that.
We get the same reactions for, like, the fourth, fifth, sixth round picks in the NFL. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I love this offensive lineman they took from San Diego State. Like, you don't know anything about this person.
Yeah, like,
you've never heard of him. Outside like, of, like, the first round picks and maybe the skill players and the skill position players in the second round, you haven't heard of these people.
Yeah, like, that's why, like, guys, like, end up being, like, busts in organizations from the fan base perspective. Because people have these crazy expectations. Like, everyone needs to chill on Bruce Thornton. Chill out. And I know he scored 27 points in his first summer league game. I think it was the most ever for a Rocky in a summer league debut. Like, he's a second round pick, guys. Like,
I still remember the Jabari 40 point game.
I do remember that. It used to be summer league MVP and they stopped playing.
Yeah.
How's that pan?
They pulled him.
You know, what you didn't have to live through was the LiAngelo Ball summer league game that he had for the Hornets.
Were you covering the Hornets then?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was.
What a time.
Horrible.
Now I just see him and his brother on these betting apps.
Cash or trash, Will. The Hornets are the most irrelevant team. Actually, I think it's the Rockies. I'll couch it to NBA. The most irrelevant team
Rockies
in the NBA.
Good, recently. I mean, not recently, but they at least had... They were
it
more
just feels like...
Better.
Maybe, actually, the answer might be the Wizards right there in the same region, but... It just feels like they're
most irrelevant
never,
team in sports.
Yeah, in the NBA, because I think in sports it had to be the Rockies. But
I don't.
I think it's the Pelicans.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, like I think the Hornets are close. Like I think they're in that category. Like I think the most irrelevant teams in the NBA at this point are
the Wizards, Hornets,
the Kings,
Pelicans.
The Hornets, Pelicans. Like
I got
are
all
the most irrelevant teams.
I'll double down and say the city of Charlotte is the most irrelevant sports city in America.
Yeah.
I could see, yeah. I mean, Panthers never get any news.
No one cares.
Yeah.
They had Christian McCaffrey, no one cared.
When they had Cam, obviously.
When they're going
different.
To the Super Bowl and Cam's the MVP, people cared. Yep. But outside of that.
Yeah. We're watching the old 2008 All-Star game on one of the TVs right now.
We are.
Because hashtag July.
Yeah.
Playing the name game with baseball players is the best name game version.
Ooh. I think I cashed that.
For those of you that don't know the name, baseball player. So I got to say Ian Kinsler, and then you got to say a player like Kyle Lowry or Kyle
cash it.
Clark.
Yeah, I'd cash it because it's so much deeper.
Yeah.
Like, it's so deep. Like, you can do it, like, within your fan base.
And it's so fun.
And you can do it, like... Like, there's this one guy on TikTok who I see all the time. He travels across the country. And, like, people don't get anything. But he just plays this game where they just go back and forth on who can name an Astros player. He was at the Dyke recently and did it outside the stadium. And this him and this guy went back for like two back and forth for 2.5 minutes. And
that's
he's on
so
Astros.
Fun.
So this guy just, like, knows everybody, apparently. But, like, you hear, like, some of the most, like, obscure names ever when people are doing this. But I'd say, yeah, name game's probably the best at baseball. I don't play it a lot anymore.
I haven't played it in a long time, man.
It's a great college game. All right, we'll take a break here on ESPN 97.5. Top 10 coaches on the hot seat this upcoming season. We're going to get to that next right here on ESPN 97.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. We're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Back here on ESPN 97.5, Joe Will Kunkel, Brian McDonald here with you. Talk a little college football now. Top 10 coaches on the hot seat this upcoming season. This list that we found, I think Brian found this, it's got some big names on it. Deion Sanders appears on this list.
How he wouldn't be on the hottest seat is kind of crazy.
Bill Belichick's on this list.
Really bad.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley, Matt Rhule. It says number one, Shane Beamer. That's fine. Number two, Luke Fickell. Three, Dave Aranda. I put Dave Aranda number one. He should have been fired last year at Baylor. Bill O'Brien comes in at number four. Couldn't disagree more.
You always come in here with these down questions.
I don't think he's on the hot seat.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's the best they can do at Boston College.
Well, the problem with him is if he embarrasses them at the podium or, like, it gets...
He seems very chill. He seems, like, very calm now. I think that Bill's gone. He's doing, like, random podcast interviews now. Like, I had a friend who had him on her podcast last year. After the Bears drafted a Boston College player, and he just, like, went on the podcast. I was like, that's something Bill O'Brien used to never do.
We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting.
It's Shane Beamer, Luke Fickell, Dave Aranda number three, Bill O'Brien four, Mike Locksley at five, Lincoln Riley at six, Matt Rhule at seven, Belichick at eight, Deion Sanders at nine, coming in at number 10 on this list, Steve Sarkisian. Anywhere you disagree on this list? I see Brian smile. Brian, you want to go first?
Steve's not on the hot seat.
You don't think so?
No. I don't know, man. Like, there's high expectations. There's a lot of money, and they were not good last year.
I mean, 9 wins and a bowl win. I don't call that as bad.
We're at 12 teams into the playoffs, and you can't make the playoffs.
They were mid.
So I mean, that's not good.
Okay, fair. That's fair. I'll concede that one. I just don't think they can be bad enough to get fired. For him to get fired. It's not that I think Texas is going to be a world beater and that he wouldn't necessarily deserve to make a move, because I think a lot of Longhorn fans have been unimpressed with his offensive schemes the last couple years, but I just don't think they're going to be bad enough for it, because what, if they win 9 games, I don't think he's fired.
Yeah, I don't.
And that kind of feels like the floor.
I don't think so either, personally. Like, I think you have to, like, be a total disaster, like James Franklin, to get fired. Like, yeah. I just don't think we're there yet with Sark. I don't think we're far. Like, I think next year is a total... If he misses the playoffs this year...
If he misses the playoffs this year, he goes kind of what Ryan Day did a couple years ago, mm-hmm. where he goes into the season of the hot seat. Of course, Ryan Day saved his job because he won the title. But I think he could be in that spot where if he wins 9 games again, let's say loses to Oklahoma, doesn't make the playoffs, he goes in the next season of the hot seat. But I don't think he is now.
Yeah,
I think he's definitely on the hot seat because... And he's number 10. It's not like he's high on the list. I just think... At Texas, you have to be better than 9 wins. Like, you have to be. You have to be in the playoffs
yeah.
and relevant consistently. You don't have a choice. And they're hot-headed over there to where they know they want that. They deserve it, whether it's right or wrong. But I think it's right because of the money that's poured into it. It's not a place where they're delusional. They're a place that, like, hey, no, man, these are expectations, and reasonably so. And you can't be bad back-to-back or not good back-to-back years.
I mean, honestly, I think they're going to be in the playoffs, so like, I don't think
it's
going to
be a moot point. And that's a fair game. Like, I'm not saying we're predicting, but...
Because I get your point. Obviously, missing the playoffs last year, not great. But he made it the two prior years. So, like, I think if he's making it two out of 3 years, he's going to be safe.
And I think the eye test is a factor in this, like you mentioned. Like, their offense has been trash. Like, his inability to call plays and have an offensive play scheme, and like... It's been bad enough to where people can be pissed off, and people with the money, if they're pissed off, forget about it. All bets are off.
I wonder if Arch will be an excuse or something that's an anchor around his neck. Because watching Arch play at times, I'm like, I can't really blame Sark's office because Arch is trash. Yeah. But I can also see big donors saying, well, you didn't develop Arch, you're gone.
Yeah,
I wonder which side of that'll land on. Probably more on the you didn't develop Arch side.
I think so too. Like, and I think he played a lot better the back half of last season. So like,
first half was brutal though.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna be. I think he is third in Heisman odds.
Well, hell, he was the favorite going into last season.
He's second in Heisman odds right now,
behind Julian
CJ Carr.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
CJ Carr is the Heisman favorite.
He is. He's going to win the Heisman this year.
Man, I don't know if I would put him top.
They're
going to
crush people this year. So like,
I'd put Dante Moore ahead of him. I put Julian Sayin ahead of him.
Dante Moore is like eighth on this list.
That's good value.
It's CJ Carr, Arch Manning, Darian Mensah, Trinidad Chambliss, Jeremiah Smith, Julian Sayin, and then Dante Moore.
Where's the South Carolina kid?
What's his name again?
The quarterback.
Oh, he fell off so far last year.
He did. He was.
Oh, Lenore Sellers. He's 40-1. I'm not a believer. I was last year.
South Carolina would have to win.
Last year was horrendous.
They'd have to win 10 games for him to have a chance. I don't think they can do it.
Texas is third in championship odds this year. It's Ohio State, Notre Dame, Texas are the top three. Indiana, Oregon after that. I think there's one name on this list. I think it's going to be a one and done. I'll call my shot right now. Pete Golding.
Yeah, you've been on that train for a while. Yeah,
I think it's 1 year at Ole Miss and gets fired. I think they made a quick hire to keep as many recruits, and I get why they did it. They kept Kewon Lacy, who's going to be the best running back in college football this year. Like, it worked out. They have Chambliss. I think Ole Miss is going to be a mess this year under him. He's also being, I don't know, like targeted might be the word. He's being accused of, like, crossing the line within transfer players and talking to guys who are currently on active rosters and trying to persuade them to enter the transfer portal. So I think that stuff where they are being investigated, Ole Miss, into that stuff. Plus, I just don't think they're going to be very good this year. They're going to be a huge disappointment. I'm going to go Pete Golding should be on this list.
If Matt Rhule...
He's on it.
Yeah, I'm saying I think he should be like one or two because he's won 5 games, 7 games, 7 games. But if his schedule wasn't what it was with opening with Ohio, Bowling Green, North Dakota, not the North Dakota State, North Dakota, then Michigan State and Maryland, like he has a chance to get fired in those first 5 games, no doubt, or be fine because it's a crap schedule.
See, I kind of put them in the Bill O'Brien category where it's like, can Nebraska do better?
Man, you want to talk about, for better or worse, delusional fans and expectations. Well,
they should have stayed in the Big 12. They should go back. I know they can't get the money, and that's why they won't, but like, they should stay in the Big 12. They don't belong in the Big 10. They're never going to win in the Big 10. So like, it's like, I don't know what you do with Matt Rhule. Like,
they're always going to be they will always fight to be good again.
For sure. And like, and they're going to have a year where like, they're going to make the 12-team playoff at some point, whether Matt Rhule's the coach or not. Like, with the expanded playoffs, and obviously then when we go to 24, eventually like, they're going to make the playoffs. But like, we talked about this yesterday. What does it really matter? You know, if you're making the 24-team playoff, right, but you're 22,
you're irrelevant.
I would not make that tournament, the expanded field, a hire or fire decision for a Power 4 team.
Text line says Dabo.
I was on that last year, man. I was on the, like, at what point do we have the conversation that Dabo is at least a conversation?
I think the conversation was had, but I think they'd probably let him retire himself.
Yeah, I think, because I think whatever. We're there. Like, he won't use the transfer portal. He doesn't believe in name, image, and likeness. And yes, they do use it a little bit in terms of NIL, but, like, they don't use the portal.
He used it once, is that right?
I think I don't know if he used it more this offseason, but I think he had one player. Mm-hmm. Like, he believes in, like, you come to Clemson, you stay at Clemson, you are Clemson. That's not how college football works anymore. Like, he's getting left. And, like, if he's not going to change, now some of that could be institutional philosophy in terms of, like, NIL being a problem. And, like, that's hard to blame a coach for that. And obviously, as the greatness that was his run, you know, in the teens here in 2000s. But, like, I think Dabo, like, could be on this list. He might be there forever, like, until he says retire.
I'll make a prediction and cash or trash it. Deion Sanders is the first head coach that will be fired, and they'll use his health as the excuse because they don't want to fire him.
He just says cancer free.
No, I mean, his toes, his surgeries. I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, he had 3 wins last year. 9 before that and 4 before that.
I'm going to trash it. I think he's trash. I think he is there as long as he wants.
Man, I don't think so because the stands were not filled last like that. That's worn off,
and they weren't filled before.
I know, like, but
he's the only thing. He's the first.
They got a taste.
Like they're relevant for the first time since what Cordell was their quarterback. Like, I don't know. Like they haven't gone. It has not gone well there.
It's embarrassing. Did you see the interview of the I forget who it was. Yeah. That's so embarrassing for a coaching staff. And I don't know if he said it wrong or whatever.
Yeah, he basically said they didn't watch film. They played, like, backyard football last year.
He did say that.
Yeah.
Like, he did say that. That's insane.
I think they came out about their first year, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty much been the case
like
the entire
time. They look like it, dude. They look like it.
I think there's another stage of the Deion Colorado experience before we get there, where I think if he, like, he's smart, obviously.
I do not think he's equipped to be the head coach CEO of a football program, and he showed that.
Yeah, but he also has shown that he can at lower levels.
That's different.
No, I think right now, like, he's gone too much into, like, give my buddies jobs.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Like, why is Warren Sapp on that, like, besides getting in trouble and putting, like, black eyes on the program? Like,
you can get one or two good guys and compete at a lower level.
Yeah, I think he needs to,
you
like...
You can't do that at Colorado.
He needs, like, a legit staff, actually. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he's the first coach fired this year.
I mean, talk yourself into it. I like it.
No, I mean, I don't think he will be, but like, it just wouldn't shock me. Like, if you're right,
I think I would go with Mike Norvell.
Wasn't he already fired?
I would say he's already fired.
Was he already fired?
So bingo, you're right.
Who am I thinking of then?
No, I think it's like, oh wait, no, he hasn't been fired yet. No, he's still there. I mean, Norvell's like definitely like.
Where is he? He's at Florida State.
Yeah.
He's not fired already?
I don't think so. I know this list says he is, but I don't think that's correct. I could be wrong, but like.
Yeah, I thought he was still there.
His Wikipedia page still says president. Yeah, I think he's still there. That one wouldn't shock me.
You know who joined that staff as an assistant? Tom Herman.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Tom Herman. Yeah, he's kind of floating around, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's had a weird career. Like, it was like
it was enjoyable when he joined us on the show last year.
Yeah, like it was like he was all like it was a he was on a rocket ship.
He was,
and then that thing crashed, and it has not gone well whatsoever.
I can't remember if he was on the list, but I also threw Luke Fickell out there. Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was number 2 on the
list. Oh, he was number 2.
Yeah,
I couldn't get it to load on my screen.
They're very like blasé though. If it's not Barry Alvarez as their head coach, this is whatever.
I mean, a lot of people thought he was going to get fired last year.
Yeah. I loved that hire initially, honestly.
This would definitely be a he's chosen to retire. But what about Kirk Ferentz?
No. They were good last year.
Are they ever good? They're like eight wins. Like, feels like they're forever in the 7-win purgatory.
Yeah, that's where it's like that kind of goes like with like my Bill O'Brien theory is like, I think they might just be okay with that. Like,
let him ride it out as long as he wants to.
Yeah, like there are certain programs
Vanderbilt
where, like,
in the bowl game.
Like they just don't have like these crazy. Like there are certain programs that don't have the expectations that are others. Like Sark, you could very easily argue should be nowhere near a hot seat, but he very much is because of the school he coaches at. Like there are just certain programs where it's another level of intensity this year. I think that's kind of like that's a pretty good list. Like I think adding Dabo to it is totally fair. I guess Pete Golding.
Was Lincoln Riley on the list?
Yeah, he was on the list. Okay. Yeah,
I think he's one bad season for being gone.
I think he's a good season, not in the playoffs, ready to go. I just put, like,
so you think making the playoffs is the only thing that saves his job?
Yeah, I do. I think he's going to have to make the playoffs this year.
I think 8 wins or less certainly loses him his job. I don't know about 9-3.
It's hard for me to say, like from the people I do know that are connected to the USC program.
I think they...
The Notre Dame thing has not gone over very well, and it was Lincoln Riley's idea to take them off the schedule. So it's like, if you're going to ruin college football tradition at a school, you better win. And it's like, if you're going to take a tough team off your schedule and put a cupcake on there, like, you better come outside the outside of that where, like, you're going to make a playoff team this year. Well, she would be the hottest name in college football if he gets fired. I just don't think it's...
I'd fire Sark for him.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I think that Lincoln Riley ship has kind of sailed a little bit on the how bright that star is.
What was it, like 3-4 straight Heisman winners?
Yeah, but not a lot of good football. Not good football teams.
No. I mean, Heisman Caleb year was pretty good. They didn't make the playoffs, but and Baker and Kyler, those teams were fine.
Hurts.
Yeah, he was good at Oklahoma. Long time ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in the category of the games passed him by. Like, it's not like a Pete Carroll conversation.
I don't think it has. I just think the star has dimmed.
No,
a little
sure.
Bit. So when
sure.
You say he's the hottest name out there, I don't know about that.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we get back, we'll do our junkie of the day to wrap up the show. That'll be next year on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie. Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like I'm some kind of speed junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
Junkie of the day, Joe Will Bryan. Short segment here. Glenn Davis, Destination 2026 coming up next. Will, the junkie of the day?
England.
Yeah.
For being a bunch of bums, for packing it in for 35 minutes, refusing to actually play the game of football, the beautiful game, and being sissy boys and losing.
Agreed. Brian?
I'll nominate Bob Nightingale for getting the initial report on this Astros trade very wrong.
Very
wrong. Tweet. That was answered a minute later by Chandler Rome with very different information that the Astros were getting nothing back in return for Lance McCullers, and Colton Gordon were only getting the remainder of the contract paid out of a total of $7 million. A minute later, Chandler Rome had, no, actually, it's Prince Fielder's son, and the Brewers are only paying $2 million. So Bob Nightingale, I don't know what his sources were on this one because he does get a lot of Astros stuff right, but he had a big swing and a miss.
Yeah, that's a big one to get so wrong.
Did Chandler call him out on that tweet like you said?
They just happened to be
they were just like in my time because I had those both those guys saved for notifications for breaking news, and they were a minute apart.
I'm going to go a nerdy one here, okay? Back in 2023, they were supposed to start filming The Batman 2.
Yes.
It just got delayed again to February 2028. Like, what are we doing? This movie was supposed to come out in 2027 at the latest. 2028 now.
When did the first The Batman come out?
6 years ago.
It's like, it's going to become...
Was the one with Ledger?
No, Pattinson. Robert Pattinson.
What do you mean the last? What do you mean the first one, then? What do you mean?
Well, because it's first, a new... Like, the first new Batman.
Yeah. It's a new part
there's like, of... There's like 100 Batman.
Yeah, was this
the one you're talking about? Is the Christopher Nolan trilogy?
Right,
this
right.
is a new group of movies unconnected to those.
Yes,
the one that were like Paul Dano played the Joker at the very, very end. That one.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, that was 6 years ago. So Batman Part Two.
It's
got
like the DC
back.
Version of waiting on GTA 6.
Sucks. All right, England wins the junkie of the day. We don't have to question it.
No doubt.
We lost the Swiss of the day. They played terribly, and more on England playing terribly. Coming up next, Destination 2026 with Glenn Davis. Followed by Comicast with Michael Carroll and John Lee, and then Hall of Fame. That'll do it for us today. Back with you guys tomorrow. Peace. Bye.
ESPN 97.5.